The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Gambling fever, a disease that, in varying degrees, afflicts millions of Americans. In its milder form, where it's indulged in casually, it can be no more than a pastime. But the compulsive gambler finds himself on the road to perdition. An addicted gambler is doomed as surely as anyone addicted to drugs or alcohol. He will inevitably find himself face to face with disaster.
Hey, you're late, Lou.
I know. I've been trying to raise the money.
You ought to put that to music. That's the same song I've been hearing for the last week.
Look, we've been doing business for years. I've always paid before, haven't I?
That's like yesterday's news. Dead. That's what you'll be unless you come up with 11 big ones before next Tuesday.
Our mystery drama, Bet with the Angels, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Murray Burnett and stars Mason Adams. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and True Value Hardware Stores. I'll be back shortly with Act One. Man is a social animal. Indeed, many sociologists believe that the company of his fellows is just as important to him as any of life's necessities. Of course, friendship between men has been celebrated in song and story ever since Damon and Pythias. Today's tale deals with a friendship that equaled, if it didn't exceed, the bond between that historic pair. Since this friendship carried beyond the grave...
Ever since I could remember, Lou Marvin and I have been pals. From kindergarten through the University of Chicago. Although we chased different careers after we graduated, me to the advertising business and Lou turning his charm and personal magnetism to selling, we kept in touch. And whenever Lou was in town, we were inseparable. Even during one of the worst blizzards in the history of Chicago, when Lou punched me in the mouth, saving my life, at the same time that he risked his own. I was crazy to try to get to work, but I had a new account that I'd promised to work up. So I fought my way to my car and was just about settled in the front seat when I saw Lou trudging towards me through the snow. At the same time, I heard a thump. I rolled the window down to try to see what had happened, and I heard Lou calling.
Stay where you are, Denton. Don't move. And get your face back in there.
Are you crazy, Lou? Come on, get in and I'll give you a lift, your friendly neighborhood bookmaker.
I said sit.
What's going on here? Let me get out. Sorry, buddy. That's an electric power cable across the back of your car. Now, sitting where you are, you're safe as in your house. Touch one foot on the ground, you'll be electrocuted.
Wow. Could you have told me that before you hauled off and belted me?
You already had your hand on the door latch.
Yeah, but you touched me and you're okay.
I made sure I just hit you, not the car.
Well, wait a minute. You mean if you'd have brushed the car when you swung at me, you'd have been
in fried.
You're crazy, Lou. You know that?
I mean, why didn't you... Look, you know my philosophy. Never ask why. Never look back. Now, I'll get a tree branch, get that power line off the car, and we'll find a poker game.
Lou found the poker game. I went to work, despite Lou's beautifully persuasive sales pitch. Lou knew that I wasn't a gambler, but he liked to have me along when I could spare the time. I enjoyed watching, and I sometimes even made a small bet. I liked to think that I acted as a restraining influence, but I realized I was kidding myself. For example, one summer night, we went to the Trotters.
The next race, Jason, the next race is going to be the biggie. We'll win back everything we lost.
Right, Lou. I mean, isn't that the way it always goes? The next race, the next... football game, the next fight.
Have I ever steered you wrong?
Often.
Well, can't win them all, you know that.
Oh, I know, Lou. I know. I just don't like to lose them all, and I think you lose more than you win.
Oh, come on now. No analysis tonight. Look at this horse here. Look at this. Number 6 in the next race.
Great. Well, that's where they say the pot of gold is.
Jason, 11-1.
That's not like you, Lou. You're a chalk player.
Not when I'm out $600. Now, look at him. There he is out on the track now. The roan there. Now, isn't he beautiful?
You know something, Lou? You have been reading racing form since high school. Now, I don't pretend to know half as much as you, but look at this dope sheet on Rainbow. He leads all the way to the stretch, and then he quits and he finishes last.
I saw that. That's the beauty of it. I figure they're setting him up for a killing. That's why he's 11-1. Now, come on, let's get to the windows before we're shut out.
As usual, there was no standing up against Lou's enthusiasm. I bet $5 on Rainbow. Lou bet $100. Rainbow went out to a 6-length lead with Lou screaming, "What did I tell you?" And then stopped as if he'd run into a brick wall. He finished last again. But what happened next? That's the part that you're not going to believe.
There you are. Well, you were smart only to bet $5. But this time, watch. Rainbow will do it.
What? The race is over.
One heat. They're going to run a second.
You're not going to bet him again.
Jason, that's why you're a loser. You just don't understand. Now look at the tote board. Rainbow's up to 15-1. They're going to make a killing.
Who's they?
How do I know? The owners, the insiders.
Oh, boy. You know, Lou, for an intelligent guy, I really think you don't have all your marbles.
You don't know anything about gambling.
I know enough not to put my money on a horse running against the very same horses that just beat him by 20 lengths.
Jason, now look. It costs money to run a horse in this race, doesn't it?
I know about entry fees.
Well, there you are. Why do you think the owners would put up this much money to enter him if they didn't think he could win? This is a put-up job. I can smell it.
Okay, you have every right to call me the world's biggest idiot, but you've never heard Lou sell. His belief was so strong, and he had the ability to sweep away all logic and actually convince you that he was right. At any rate, I bet another $5, and he put down his last $100. And then we rushed back to the track to watch and listen.
And as they head into the stretch, it's Rainbow on top by 2 lengths. Then Mark's Son, Villefranche, and Hesperus. Hesperus is moving on the outside. Mark's Son and Villefranche also moving up as Rainbow falters. It's Hesperus and Mark's Son. Hesperus, and it's Mark's Son on the inside by a note. There'll be a photo.
Well, Lou.
Yeah. There you are. Well, I still have a small bankroll left. I think I'll find me a poker game.
I couldn't get sore at Lou. None of his friends could. I mean, if you liked him, and most people did, you put up with that fatal flaw in his character. However, I didn't hear from Lou for about a week after the incident at the racetrack, and I was concerned. I called and I left messages, but he didn't return the calls. So, one night, I decided to stroll over to his apartment on Lakeshore Drive. I missed his unfailing cheerfulness, and I also wanted to tell him that I'd finally met a girl that I wanted to marry. I wanted them to meet because it was important that they be friends. As I approached the entrance to his apartment house, I was surprised to see Lou come out, escorted by 2 men.
Lou! Hey, Lou, hold up a minute.
I didn't like the way the men kept Lou between them as they came to a stop. They were well-dressed, but something about them screamed hoodlum.
Where are you going, Lou? Did you forget our date?
Oh, yes. It slipped my mind.
Slipped your mind? You mean you forgot that I wanted to introduce you to Hillary?
Jason, I'm sorry. These gentlemen drove everything out of my mind.
Yeah, but, Lou, the...
Yeah, we got important business together. You might almost say it's a matter of life and death.
To Lou or to you?
What's your name?
Jason Clark.
All right, Jason Clark. Your good friend here owes us 11 big ones, and we intend to get it. Now, how about it, Clark? Is this guy going to stand up for your wedding? Going to be your best man?
Well, I sure hope so if the girl will marry me.
Fine. How about you standing up for him and guaranteeing we get our dough?
Okay, I'll guarantee you get your money.
Yeah, there's a friend for you, Lou. You ought to be real proud.
Yeah, you understand, I don't have that kind of money now, but...
Sure, we understand.
We'll give you a week to get it together.
You shouldn't have done that, Jason. I make my problems and I solve them.
I couldn't let him kill you.
Look, I'm no good to them dead. I'll admit I might have crawled away with some bruises and maybe a couple of broken ribs. You haven't got that kind of loot.
I'll manage to
get it. Oh, you'll do nothing. Now, look, I'm going out on the road and sell some swimming pools. Six ought to do it. If I can't sell six pools in a week, I'll give up gambling.
Lou did sell the pools. Seven, as a matter of fact. He didn't give up gambling, and he met Hillary Jones, by this time my fiancée. To my delight, they hit it off beautifully. Hillary disapproved of Lou's gambling, but she was not a managing woman, and she didn't attempt to reform him. When Lou was in town, he was always welcome company, and we became a threesome until tragedy struck. Lou was killed in an automobile accident. I didn't realize how large a part Lou had played in my life until he was gone. I asked Hillary to move up the date for our wedding, hoping that married life would help fill the void.
Of course, dearest. We can get married tomorrow if you want.
Did I ever tell you how much I love you?
Frequently. But I never get tired of hearing you say it.
You're a remarkable woman. I know that you and your folks wanted a big wedding with all the trimmings, and yet you're willing to marry me tomorrow.
I love you, Jason.
You know, I wouldn't ask you to disappoint your folks and run off and get married, but it would be great if we could move the date up a couple of weeks.
No problem.
Great. Let's celebrate. I tell you, I'll give you 10 minutes to change, and we'll have dinner at the pump room.
I have a very important question to ask you. Where is all the money coming from for this?
Don't worry about it. We can afford it.
Well, I know you do very well at the agency. But nearly near well enough to be able to afford the luxuries you've lavished on me in the last few months. Best restaurants, the best seats, the best shows.
You're objecting to the way I've been courting you?
I love it. But where are you getting all the money?
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Darling, I think we're heading for our first quarrel. Why are you so secretive? What's going on?
I'll tell you, but only upon two conditions. First, that you won't repeat it to a soul. And second, that you won't make fun of me.
I promise.
Okay. I've been gambling.
Gambling?
And winning.
What's happening to you? You're not a gambler. You never were. Don't you remember the hours we spent talking about Lou? Trying to come up with some way of curing his gambling habit?
Cool it, Hillary. It's not really gambling.
You're betting?
Yeah. But I can't lose. I haven't lost a bet, not once.
That's ridiculous. That's impossible.
Not if you're getting tips from the right source.
What source?
Lou, of course. Lou tells me what to bet. And he's never been wrong.
The late Harry Houdini swore to his friends that he would get in touch with them after his death. He even left very definite details as to how they would recognize his presence, even if he were unable to talk with them. So far, none of them has been contacted. Now we have Jason Clark, who says he's getting betting tips from his dead friend. Can this really be true? We'll find out shortly when I return with Act Two. There are many spiritualists who claim to have regular conversations with the dead, but most of them maintain they reach the spirit world only through their own very special contact on the other side. Jason Clark, however, has told his fiancée that he's in direct contact with his dead friend, Lou Marvin, who's giving him sure winners in sporting events.
Jason, I know you believe that Lou has been giving you tips on betting. I'm trying to decide which worries me more. The fact that you're gambling or the fact that you actually think that Lou...
Remember your promise. You swore that you wouldn't make fun of me.
Darling, I'm not making fun. I'm just terribly worried. I know how close you and Lou were and how much his death affected you, but this is...
Look, honey, please, relax. I'm not crazy. Now, just let me explain how it happened.
But you can't.
See, the first time I was reading a sporting page about the game between the Chicago Bears and the Giants. And suddenly, I heard Lou's voice, clearly, telling me to bet the Giants.
Oh, you couldn't have.
Right. I couldn't, and I didn't. I dismissed it as some sort of hallucination. But twice before the game, I heard him again. And it was just the way Lou used to talk. And I still didn't better do anything about it. And the Giants won.
Oh, Jason, my love. That was just a coincidence.
That's just what I thought, until it happened again with a basketball game. So I made a small bet, and I won. And from then on, I've just listened to old Lou, and I haven't lost a single time.
Darling, I'd like you to see a doctor.
Yep.
He's a good friend.
Hillary,
of mine.
Please, Hillary, please. Just let me prove it to you. Wait a minute. I'll go out to the lobby, I'll get a newspaper. You just wait. Okay, here's a paper. Now look. Here is the list of tonight's games. You pick a game. Any game.
No, I don't want anything to do with it.
In other words, you have a closed mind. You love me, but you won't even let me prove to you that I'm not out of my skull, that this is really happening.
All right. Here. I pick the game between the Chicago Bulls and the Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay. Now, hear me the paper.
Tell her to pick another game, Jess.
Well? Do you hear anything?
Yep. Lou says you should pick another game.
I didn't hear a thing.
Yeah, I know, but that's what he said.
All right. But I'm only going along with this nonsense because I love you.
You just pick the game. It's getting late.
All right. In Boston and Philadelphia. I don't even stare at that paper.
Take the Celtics and 6 points.
Where are you going?
To phone in my bet. Lou told me to take the Celtics with 6 points. Well, do you believe me now? 100, 200, 300, 500 bucks.
But the Celtics lost.
Yeah, but only by 3 points, and the spread was 6, so I won. Now do you believe me?
I believe you won, but I don't believe... I refuse to believe that such a thing could happen.
You don't believe in life after death?
Maybe there is. But if there are such things as spirits, they don't go around giving people tips so that someone down here on Earth can win a lot of money.
Come on, Hillary. You know what a great salesman Lou was. I mean, if anyone could sell the other world a bill of goods on gambling, Lou is the fellow who could.
Jason, I don't know what's going on, but I want you to stop.
Why?
Because it's wrong.
What's wrong about winning? I'm making legitimate bets and I'm winning. I mean, it's the easiest money I ever made in my life. We can use it to build a wonderful life. Do you realize that the ceiling is absolutely unlimited?
And what happens if Lou stops sending you tips?
Simple. I don't bet. I'm not a gambler. I'm just a winner. A man who acts on heaven-sent information. And if I don't get the information, I'll quit.
And what happens when you lose?
Well, I don't even want to think about that. Not because of the money. I mean, there's no way I'd bet enough to lose at all. But if I lose, that'll mean that something is going on inside my head and I never was in touch with Lou at all.
And how do you think I like living with that thought?
You shouldn't consider it. The records show that I must be hearing from Lou that I'm betting only on sure things.
But somehow, to me, that's even more frightening.
What's the matter? Headache?
No, I'm fine. I'd just rather you come over to my place because I have something to tell you that needs privacy.
Okay. Did you get the flowers?
Yes. Thank you. They're beautiful.
What's all? Nothing else to say to him?
I'll see you in an hour.
Jason, before I say anything, I want you to know that's the most beautiful engagement ring I've ever seen.
Well, at last. I was beginning to think that either you hadn't received it or you didn't like it.
No woman could look at it and not like it. It's really exquisite and expensive. Obviously, you're still winning.
That's an understatement. My bookmaker is hinting that perhaps he'd rather have me go to Vegas to place my bet. I tell you, darling, we have got the world by the tail.
Yes, I suppose that's one way of looking at it.
Well, what's the matter? I thought you'd be happy about the ring.
The trouble is that I'm beginning to believe you about Lou.
Why should that make you unhappy?
Because I don't want to believe in demonic possession.
Demonic? What the deuce are you talking about?
You know how we used to laugh and joke about all those books and films where some kind of devil entered the body of a perfectly normal person and took over?
Well, what's that got to do with anything?
Oh, I believe that somehow Lou has taken possession of your mind.
Are you saying that you think Lou's a devil or some kind of an evil spirit?
No, not at all. I just think that ever since this started, you've been acting and thinking like Lou rather than like Jason.
Nonsense.
You've quit your job with the ad agency, haven't you?
You're exaggerating. I just took a leave of absence.
Why?
Well, there's not much point in my turning out advertising copy 5 days a week for less than I make on one bet.
Oh, I wish you could hear yourself. It almost sounds as if Lou were talking. That's just what he'd say.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Of course. Why didn't I think of this before? You're jealous. You're jealous of Lou and...
That's not true. That's not true at all. I thought Lou was a fine person and I enjoyed being with him, but much as I liked Lou, I would never have thought of marrying him.
Well, I can't believe what I'm hearing. I mean, look at me. I'm Jason. I am Jason Clark. You remember me? The guy who loves you and wants to do everything in the world for you.
If you really mean that, then we have no problem.
Of course I mean it.
Then stop betting.
Boy, oh boy, I really stepped into that one, didn't I?
Well?
Let me think about it for a minute.
You think about it. I don't have to because I already know the answer.
You're pushing me, Hillary, and I don't like to be pushed.
Why don't you admit it? You're addicted exactly the way Lou was addicted. You can't stop, not even for me.
You see, that's not fair. I mean, Lou lost a lot of time. Sure, he won now and then, but he lost. I mean, if you want to say that I'm addicted, be honest. I'll admit that I'm addicted to winning.
I'm sorry, Jason. Here.
What's that?
Your ring. I'm giving it back. I'm calling it quits. If I were a gambler, I might say I was cutting my losses because I know what you're doing is all wrong.
I walked back to my place after Hillary had broken our engagement, feeling rotten. I had to face up to it. A lot of what Hillary had said was right. I just couldn't bear the thought of throwing away this golden opportunity. And I also had to admit that if I quit, it would probably break my link with Lou, and I didn't want to lose contact. I was feeling miserable when I opened the door to my apartment, and I froze. Seated there were the two men that I'd seen with Lou when he owed them $11,000. One of them spoke.
Come on in, Clark, and close the door. You remember meeting us before with your friend Lou Marvin? I'm Mr. Smith. This fellow's Mr. Jones, my silent partner.
How did you get in?
Let's not waste time on unimportant matters. I don't remember the guy who said if you can't lick him, join him, but that's the way we feel. We want to go into business with you.
Yeah, but I'm not in business.
Wrong. Dead wrong. Now, you've been taking a lot of money. An awful lot of money away from our enterprise, and it shouldn't happen that way. Now, you know as well as we do, Clark, it don't figure.
You mean I'm not supposed to win?
Well, of course you're supposed to win, some of the time. But even the luckiest gamblers we ever saw also lost some of the time. You're something else, Clark. You're the first guy we ever ran across who never loses.
If you fellas are trying to tell me that you don't want my action, I'll go elsewhere.
There ain't no elsewhere, Clark. You've become famous. Now, we're here to make you a straight business proposition. We understand you must have some kind of a system. And we want you to tell us about it so we can work it better.
I don't have a system.
Now, look, Clark, you've been doing great. I mean great. But with us, you'll do even better. We can put down bets that no one would take from you. So it makes sense to let us in on it.
Look, I told you, I don't have a system.
You're not dealing with children when you talk with me and Jonesy. Well, you want to make us believe you close your eyes, you stick a pin in the paper and come up with a winner?
Of course I don't do anything like that.
All right. So tell us, what do you do?
This is ridiculous.
Ain't it? You know, if anyone had ever told me, I'd be sitting in a guy's apartment one night begging him to tell me how he picks winners. I'd have said he was bananas. But here we are, and we're asking you, and we're asking politely.
Yeah, I understand that, but I have nothing to tell you. It's just that I get a feeling.
Well, you're going to have to come up with something better. Maybe like somebody on the inside is giving you information, and you're splitting with them. Is that the way you're working?
Absolutely not.
Okay, I'll buy that. Not because you tell us, but because we got connections, and we check them very carefully before we come here tonight.
If there's anything I could do to help you, I would.
You can. All you have to do is tell us how you figure the basketball games, the football games, the races. Just tell us. And we're in business.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm using the rhythm system. You have heard of biorhythms and charts?
Biorhythms?
Yeah. Yeah. See, look, here's what I do. I get the birth date of every player, and then I use my own system of determining the biorhythms of all the key players involved. And whichever team has the players, see, with the greatest number of high in all the three categories, which are emotional and physical and astrological, well, that gives me the clue as to how to bet.
And I suppose you do the same thing with the horses.
Nah, that'd be silly with horses.
Oh, I'm sorry. My partner has a nasty temper. I don't like violence, but I can't blame him for punching you. So come up with some answers, or Jonesy's going to get so mad, he might really hurt you.
Legend has it that George Washington never told a lie. Now, that's admirable, but sometimes it's impossible to make people believe you're telling the truth when you are indeed speaking the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's the dilemma which confronts Jason Clark, and we'll be back to hear how he solves it shortly. Each of us has his dreams. To those dreamers who lament the fact that their castles in the air don't materialize, I say, beware. Many of those dreams are fulfilled only to turn into nightmares. And so it was with Jason Clark, who seemed to have a ghostly pipeline to betting on sporting events that was infallible. Indeed, Jason has never lost a bet. And now some very rough gentlemen are determined to find out how he does it.
You feeling a little better, Clark?
My nose has stopped bleeding. I guess I'm okay.
Good. See, my partner is an impatient man. I don't know how long I can hold him back.
Look, you don't have to threaten me. There's just nothing I can tell you. There's nothing you believe.
Try us.
It's no use. It's hopeless.
You're not going to come back with that biorhythm garbage, are you?
No.
All right, you seem to be learning. Now, we'll go along with something when we hear the truth.
Okay, do you remember Lou Marvin?
Sure. Swell guy.
Now, you know that we were very close.
Yeah. Look, that's ancient history. Marvin is dead.
Yeah, and he's been giving me tips.
Hold it, Jonesy. I'll be time enough for your act. First, I want to hear the rest of this fairy tale.
Oh, gosh, I told you that you wouldn't believe me.
Well, I'm trying, Clark. If I hear you correctly, you're getting tips from Lou Marvin, who died almost a year ago.
That's right.
How do you get in touch?
I don't. He does. See, I'll be reading the sports news or listening to sports on the radio. Suddenly, I hear him tell me what team or what horse to bet.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose you're the only one who could hear him, right?
Now you got it.
No. You got it. 48 hours to come up with the real dope or you're going to find yourself in a hospital.
I didn't leave my apartment for 2 days. I didn't make a bet. I didn't even look at the sporting pages. I sat and I worried and thought and didn't come up with any answers. If Smith and Jones weren't willing to accept the truth, there was just no story I could make up that would hang together. I knew I'd have to go out sometime, and I wondered where they'd pick me up. Late the second night, my phone rang. Hello?
This is Smith. Remember me?
Yeah.
Have you changed your mind?
I can't. You've got to believe I told you the truth.
Boy, I've met some stubborn guys in my time, but you take the cake. Now listen. Listen good, because you won't be hearing from me again. Yeah, you know how Jonesy feels about you. But he's not stubborn. When I showed him that if we damaged you, we might be killing a goose that laid the golden egg, he saw the logic of that right away.
That makes sense. So you decided to leave me alone?
That's right. But that girl you're going to marry, that Hillary Jones, now there's really a good-looking dame.
Listen, if you touch her...
Now you can stop us. Just tell us your system and nothing happens to her. But if you don't, when we get through with her, nobody would want to marry her. Think it over and call me tomorrow. You know the number.
Although it was well past midnight, I called Hillary. I told her I had to see her. It was a matter of life and death. I think she was still too sleepy to understand what I was saying, but she agreed to allow me to come over.
All right, Jason. Now that you've gotten out of bed in the middle of the night, calm down, drink some coffee. Tell me what this is all about.
Well, first, Hillary, I want to apologize. I take back everything I ever said to you.
About what?
About this betting. I was wrong and you were right. It's big trouble. And the thing I can never forgive myself for is that you're involved.
I don't see how that's possible.
Darling, listen, start packing. You've got to go away.
Will you please drink your coffee and make some sense?
They're threatening you. That's why I called. Right after Smith hung up, we've got to find someplace where they can't find you.
Listen, I know you're in some kind of panic and that you're worried about me. Why do I have to run away?
Sorry, you're right again. You see, the fellas that I've been betting with came to see me. They thought that I had some kind of new foolproof system for picking winners, and they wanted to go into business with me. Of course, I told them I didn't have a system, and they didn't believe it. They threatened me. One of them took a punch at me. And finally, I told them the truth.
Even about Lou?
Right. Of course, they didn't believe that either. And that was 2 days ago. Well, they called me tonight. They said they wouldn't hurt me since I'm the goose that lays the golden eggs. But if I didn't tell them, they were going to beat you up and scar you for life. That's why I'm here, and that's why you've got to get out of town now.
No, that's not the answer, Jason. I don't intend to run away.
Believe me, Hillary, this isn't the time for heroics.
No, not for panic either. Running away won't solve anything.
Well, what will?
Wait a minute. I'm trying to see it their way. Now, remember when you first told me about Lou giving you tips? I didn't believe you. I can understand why they didn't believe it either. Now, suppose you prove it to them.
How?
The same way you proved it to me. Give them a demonstration.
Well, I'm not sure that Lou would go for that.
Why not?
I know how he felt about these guys. He hated them. And he's sure to know that they're with me, just waiting to cash in.
But if he knows all that, he must know the spot you're in.
Yeah, I suppose he does.
But don't you think Lou was too good a friend of yours to let you down? He got you into this. Now give him a chance to get you out.
We talked about it for the rest of the night. But I really knew deep down that it was the only sensible suggestion. Now it is up to me to persuade Smith and Jones to come to a demonstration. The next day, I called the number that Smith had given me.
Hello?
It's Jason Clark. Listen, I'm going to give you a demonstration. I'm going to show you just how I work it.
Why don't you just write it out for us? Or is it too complicated?
It's very simple. But the only way that I'm going to get you to see how it works is to watch me in action.
I don't like the way you talk. You're not going to be stupid enough to try to pull another fast one, eh?
How can I? You're going to be right with me. You're going to see me and hear me, and then...
All right. Be at the Regal Hotel, room 915 at 4:30 this afternoon.
That's too late. I want to be with you in time for the afternoon races.
Okay. Then make it 12:30.
Yeah, and have a daily racing form there, will you?
How about a crystal ball?
No, thanks. I'm bringing my own. All the way to the hotel, I was forcing my brain to send messages to Lou. They all added up to the same thing, a plea to him not to let me down. I got there on the dot, and the big gorilla called Jonesy let me in and hung a do not disturb sign outside, and then carefully locked and bolted the door.
We sent down for some food. Help yourself.
Oh, thanks.
All right, Jonesy, give him the racing form. Let's watch him work. Well, what are you doing?
Working.
We ain't hearing nothing.
I'm going to give you the name of a horse to bet.
What race?
I don't know yet.
I don't believe this guy, John.
Look, I can't concentrate if you keep on talking.
That's too bad, because I ain't going to shut up. You know, dummy, you know what we want. We ain't looking for tips. We want to know how you do it.
I'm going to show you. Now, shut up.
You're going to tell us.
I already told you. Lou Marvin gives me the name of the horse. I have to wait until I hear from him.
Jonesy, maybe you better pay a call on the young lady.
Oh, now, wait a minute. No, wait a minute. You've got to give me the chance to prove to you that I'm telling the truth.
Look, Lou Marvin's dead. Now, you tell me that somehow he gives you a tip on a team or a horse.
Right, he talks to me. Look, how much have I won over the last 4 months? You must have an approximate idea.
Not approximate. We have it right to the penny. You're in a list for 78 big ones. $78,000.
Okay, I have most of it. Not all, but I can get the difference. And I'll show you how much I believe in what I'm saying. I will bet the whole bundle, if you guys can get it down, $78,000. Does that sound as if I'm making up a story?
Jonesy, here's a guy with a lot of moxie. He sure backs up his fairy tales. All right, I'll go along with you, Clark. Go back to studying your form.
I went through the first three races, reading the names of horses to myself, and looking at their past performances, and nothing. I could feel the growing skepticism of the two men in the room. Come on, Lou. Come on.
You don't come up with a horse soon, Jonesy and me are going to get a little angry.
Sunset Star in the sixth. That's your horse, Jason.
I've got it. Sunset Star in the sixth. You can bet $78,000.
Jones left to go into another room, and Smith and I sat and looked at each other. Jones returned and nodded that the bet was down, and we sat and waited with the radio on, waited for the start of the sixth race. Then the DJ said, and now for the call at sixth race to take you trackside. There was enough electricity in that room to have lighted the whole hotel.
They're off on the inside. Bryce Folly, closely followed by Joey's boy, a length. And then Sunset Star with Kendo, Victor X, and Generalissimo all punched in the middle of the track. Around the clubhouse turn, it's Joey's boy ranging up alongside Pride Folly, a length and a half, and Sunset Star, Generalissimo two lengths back along the rail, and Victor X and Kendo. Along the back stretch, Sunset Star is making his move between horses. And now it's Sunset Star, Joey's boy, and Price Folly neck and neck with Generalissimo posing in the center of the track. And now, down the stretch to the finish, it's Sunset Star and neck over Joey's boy and Price Folly. It's Sunset Star and Joey's boy, and diving up alongside Generalissimo. It's Sunset Star and Generalissimo. Sunset Star and Generalissimo. And it's Generalissimo the winner. Sunset Star second, and a photo between Joey's boy and
Price
Folly for show money.
Okay, Clark. You showed us how it works.
Lou, what happened? How could you do this to me?
Look, you don't have to put on that Marvin act for us. We figured it right. You didn't have a system. You just got hot and ran the luckiest streak I've ever seen.
Yeah, but the $78,000 that Joe's betting.
You don't think we'd have laid $78,000 on a tip from a ghost, do you? We still got all our marbles. Now we got our money back. That's okay. You want my advice? Just don't make any more bets.
When I got back to Hillary's apartment, she took one look at my face and she threw her arms around me joyfully.
Oh, darling, I'm so glad. I'm so glad.
You're glad? You're glad? You're happy I've lost all the money I made?
I don't care about the money. I can see from your face you're out of trouble, and that's all that matters.
I promise not to make another bet.
Oh, that's marvelous. I've got you back again.
Well, you never lost me. But there's one thing that really bugs me and will as long as I live. I know I really heard Lou's voice.
Well, I suppose you did. Why should that bother you?
I'll never know. Was he really getting advance information? Or was he just riding a lucky streak?
You've overlooked another possibility, darling.
What's that?
That Lou was truly a wonderful friend who saw what was happening and wanted you and me to live happily and safely ever after.
Of course, there are some questions to which there are no answers, and I'm sorry that I can't choose for you between the three alternatives and tell you which one was true. There are always skeptics, and they will say that Jason Clark only imagined he heard the voice of his friend. I'll be back with another interesting question shortly. question that intrigues me about today's tale of friendship and the compulsive gambler is, if indeed Lou Marvin was really sending messages from the spirit world to his friend and getting a vicarious pleasure from making bets through Jason, what happened to Lou when he could no longer gamble? Did heaven or Lou make some other arrangement? Our cast included Mason Adams, Marion Seldes, Mandel Kramer. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
And now, a preview of our next tale.
We'll just let you cool off in this cell for a bit, Mr. Leach.
Sheriff, I am legally entitled to make a phone call.
Mm-hmm. Go right ahead, if you can find a phone in here.
I want an explanation, Sheriff. I want an explanation of what is going on.
Doesn't everybody?
I am legally entitled to hear the charges against me.
You had your chance to leave peaceably, boy.
You know, you're not going to get away with this. I am a reporter, Sheriff. I am here on assignment. If I'm not back in Dallas in 3 days, my boss is going to start making inquiries.
Well, he can go right ahead and do that. He won't find a single person in this town who'll admit that you was ever here.
Mrs. E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.